Well, it's January the 27th, 2019, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. If you would turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 16, it's where we'll start. Name of the message is the Jezebel Spirit. The Jezebel Spirit, and it goes all the way to Revelation. It's all through the Scripture. The Jezebel Spirit. 1 Kings 16, we'll start at verse 29, read through 33, and we're going to be going through much of the rest of 1 Kings and part of the first part of 2 Kings to cover all of Ahab, Obadiah, Jezebel, and Jehu, to try to understand what this Jezebel spirit is. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. You understand there was two tribes, two parts of Israel. It was northern Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes. And that's what he's talking about here. That Asa was king of Judah, and that's what they call the southern tribe, and now Ahab, the son of Omri, takes over northern Israel, and Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria, that was their headquarters, 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Let's hesitate there. Jeroboam is the one that set up the golden calves when he tried to get the 10 northern tribes to separate from Jerusalem and the southern tribes from Solomon. So that he had to set up something for them to worship instead of going to the temple at Jerusalem. So he set up these golden calves up there, and that was a great sin unto God, but that's what he did, and that's what he's talking about there. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal, or Baal, ever how you want to pronounce it, and worshipped him. It means he went to Zidon and worshipped Baal there. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word today. And pray you'd help us, Lord, as we discuss this spirit of Jezebel and preach the gospel, O Lord, showing the Lord Jesus and all of these things. May it be beneficial to your people and helpful to those that may hear via sermon audio. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I hope that some of the folks with sermon audio don't take offense to this message like they have some of my other messages and ask me to remove it, because in these modern days, preaching about something like the spirit of Jezebel, I'm sure is not very popular. Because Jezebel was a wicked woman and very manipulative and caused great fear in her husband and great fear in the people of God. Killed the prophets of God. And even put fear in Elijah. And Elijah had just killed 450 of the Baal prophets with his sword. Well, had people helping him, of course, but as soon as he done that, and Jezebel found out about it and said, this time tomorrow, the same will happen to you that's happened to them. And so he took off in fear of his life. So So that's the spirit of Jezebel, and that's what many women do to their husbands. That the Bible speaks about in the New Testament about men being effeminate. That's the same to me as a sodomite. A man that's effeminate is the same as a sodomite. Matter of fact, if you look up the Greek word, that's exactly what it stands for, is a sodomite. These days they call them homosexuals, or I don't know what all they call them these days, but you get the meaning of what they are. But Jezebel, you have to understand that Jezebel was like the she-wolf of, what do they call those hyenas? The hyenas. You ever saw a special on hyenas? The hyena dogs, the females, rule the pack. They only keep one male around. They kill all the rest of the males. And they only keep that one male around so that he can reproduce. And this Baal that they're serving was a reproduction god. That's the reason that it says about her what it does over in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. That's why it says that about her. They served a reproduction god. And only her only focus was on reproducing and making sure that the women controlled everything. And old Ahab didn't realize that the only reason he was kept around, and he had 70 children. He had 70 children. And the only reason he was around was like that hyena male dog. He was just there to reproduce. But if you notice in the hyena clans that they had, the male dog that was kept around only for reproduction services, and only then when the female wanted to, or the females wanted to, he had no say-so in the matter. He was always hunkered down, and he was a little thing, and he got to eat the scraps. He wasn't the man of the clan. He was there strictly for reproduction purposes, and that's the way Jezebel is, and that's the way she is all through this story and all through this of Ahab's kingdom. And even after Ahab had been killed, just like the prophet said he would be. And we'll see a little more about Jezebel and this spirit of Jezebel and how she was. And that's the way the women of the world today, that's the way they are. They want to rule. They got to keep the male around for reproduction purposes. But they want to make sure that they're running the household and the male. And you even see it in commercials these days. If you watch any commercials on TV, you'll see there's a man there with the children at home. And he's changing the diapers and he's feeding the pets and he's doing the work at the house. And his wife's off making the living or doing whatever she does. And he's just around for reproduction purposes. That's all he's there for. He don't make the decisions and he don't run the household. And that's the spirit of Jezebel. And that's the spirit that Jezebel portrayed all through her life in this. Now, let's turn over to chapter 18 here. And look at, this don't have a whole lot to do with Jezebel, but it is very interesting about Obadiah. He was a servant in the court of Ahab. And as I read this week, I thought, you know, Obadiah was a man of God. He might have been working for a devil. And you know, Ahab really wasn't that bad a fella. If it hadn't been for that conniving, no good, sleazy wife of his, Ahab might have tried to do right. Even though he was a very evil man, and the Bible says so right here that Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. But as we read along, and as you see, he was enticed and he was controlled by Jezebel. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went, because earlier it was not going to rain till Elijah said it was, and it had been over 3 years now. In the third year, saying, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Well, you can imagine 3 years of no rain. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Yeah, you see what a wicked woman Jezebel was. You don't ever want to name one of your daughters Jezebel, just in case. She was a wicked woman, and she killed the prophets of the Lord. Killed them. And so Obadiah took 100 of them, and put, I guess, 50 in one cave, it sounds like, and 50 in another cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, and to all the fountains of the water, and to all the brooks, peradventure we find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lease not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is here, He is not there. He took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, the Spirit of the Lord will carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come tell Ahab and cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord that what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Wanted to just read you that little bit. Thought you might enjoy that. Obadiah, a man of God, loved the Lord, hid the prophets, fed and watered them, and kept them, but was a servant of Ahab's. And he thought Elijah was fixing to get him killed because they had been looking for Elijah for 3 years. They was wanting rain. They was needing rain. Let's skip down to verse 40, where Elijah kills 450. From verse 17, where we left off, down to where we're about to read here, Elijah, it's where Elijah calls all the Baal prophets together, and Elijah tells them, okay, y'all build an altar and sacrifice your stuff to Baal, and I'll build one sacrifice to the Lord, and we'll see what happens. And he mocks them and tells them, hey, he must be asleep or he's gone off on a journey. Holler a little louder because he must not can hear you, because he wouldn't come down and consume the offering that they had. And then here, verse 37 says, Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. 450 of them. Now I'm sure he didn't kill all 450 of them by himself because he told his men to take them. But either way, he was involved in the killing of those Baal prophets. And then that's when the Lord sent the rain, just like he told him he would, the rest of chapter 18 there. And then in verse 19, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done," meaning Ahab, her husband, the king, told Jezebel that Elijah had killed 450 of the Baal prophets, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, I'm going to kill you like you kill them by this time tomorrow. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, there then an angel touched him, and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, and there was cake bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat, and went through the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. We won't have time to cover all of chapter 19, but you see what this spirit of Jezebel did to even the great prophet Elijah, who had raised the dead, who had done wonderful works of God. She just killed 450 Baal priests. But this spirit of Jezebel come over him. And it's a terrible thing for it to come over a man, a Christian man, so that his spouse or any woman could have such a control over him and put such fear upon him. And that's what the spirit of Jezebel, even this day, still does to a man. Causes great fear to come upon him, even for his own life, like it did with Elijah. Look on over here now. Let's start at verse 13. It'll make a little more sense. "And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" This is the Lord talking to him. "And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine idols, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria.'" Now, I'd have to do just a little more study than I had time to do to know how in the world Elijah had the authority to anoint the king of Syria. It had nothing to do with Israel, but it did have something to do with Israel, because if you continue to read, you find out that the Lord uses Hazael to destroy northern Israel, to kill them with the sword. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Now they had a king over Israel already. Jezebel's husband was king over Israel. But he tells Elisha to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So Elisha was going to take Elijah's place when the Lord takes him on out. And so he's got Jehu to anoint here king over Israel. He's got Hazael to anoint king over Syria, and Elisha to anoint to be the prophet in his place. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So Elijah was just a little mistaken. The fear of that spirit of Jezebel had come on him, and he had forgotten. And now Elijah meets Elisha, and they go on their business, and then Ahab defeats Ben-Hadad in their fight, because Ben-Hadad and his people said, well, the only reason we were defeated down here is because he's the god of the mountains, or he's the god of the plain, not of the mountains, and we were fighting in the mountains. Let's go down to the plains, we'll defeat them. Anyway, he give Ahab, the king of Israel, judgment over him. But look at verse 35 in chapter 20. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then he said he unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Now, this prophet, or this certain man, the sons of the prophets, was directed by God to have somebody kill him. And when he told the man to kill him, he wouldn't. He said, well, you fix it to be eat by a lion. Then he found another man and said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried to the king and said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man, and if by any means he is missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. The king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hath decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned that he was one of the prophets, or he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. There's Ahab's judgment. That was the judgment of God on Ahab, for not obeying what he was supposed to do. Whether he was right in his mind, and whether he was caught up by the spirit of Jezebel or not, he was judged right there. His life for the life of that prophet, and his family's life for his life also. And there was his judgment come upon Ahab. And he would pay dearly, and exactly like the Lord said. And so he goes home displeased, displeasured, depressed. He was on Prozac and Xanax and didn't know what to do. And he saw Naboth's vineyard. And he wanted it. And he was sore distressed because Naboth wouldn't sell him the vineyard. In verse 4, Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. He laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite. Don't forget the Jezreelite. It is very important. And said unto him, because Jezreel was in Ahab's backyard. And said unto him, give me my vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel's wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. Not only was she an intimidating, lying, no good thing, she's also crooked as she could be in writing letters in Ahab's name and putting his seal upon the letters as though it was the king that sent them, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders of the nobles, were in the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two children of Belial, sat before him, and the men Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned, was dead, that vineyard said to Ahab, arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. He refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard Naboth was dead, Ahab rose up and went down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise and go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? He answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. In other words, all of his posterity, all of his boys and his family, the Lord's going to kill them, everyone. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And Jezebel also, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there is none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. The spirit of Jezebel, a wicked, wicked woman, a Let's skip over to chapter 22 and start reading about verse 27 there. 26. And the king of Israel said, "Take Micah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in prison, feed him with bread and affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace." Now, you remember the story of Micah, how that the king of Judah and the king of Israel sent for him. They had him in prison over in Jerusalem, and they sent for him to come and prophesy, because all the prophets of Baal said, "Yeah, go fight with these Syrians, and you'll kill them all, and the Lord will deliver them into your hands." And they thought, well, and he asked the king of Judah, he said, "Ain't there a prophet down there in Judah?" He said, Yeah, Micah's down there. He said, "But he never prophesies good for me." He said, "But he always speaks the truth. Send for him." And he did. And Micah said, "Yeah, go on. Go get it. Have yourself some of it. The Lord will deliver him into your hands." And they said, "You're not telling the truth, Micah. Tell me the truth. What the Lord say?" He said, "You won't come back alive." He said, "You're not coming back alive." And Micah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, put on robes." Let me skip down to verse 37. Anyway, they went into battle. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house and all that he made, and cities that he built, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of King Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. Now, we're going to skip over to 2 Kings chapter 9 to get the rest of the story. Now Jehu kills Joram and Ahaziah, the one that has just been made king. And then down at verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, It is peace. Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many. And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, There is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down to his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar his captain, Take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite, for remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon me. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, Smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam, and he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at the window. Now, if you look up the meaning of the words there and read what Brother John has to say about it, you understand that when it says she painted herself up, it means she made herself look queenly. In other words, dolled herself up just as much as she could, because there was no way Jehu would want her. She's an old woman by now, and Jehu's a young man, so it wasn't to impress him with her looks, but that she would look queenly when Jehu come, and maybe he would have some mercy on her and maybe not kill her. And as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" You have to understand a little bit about Zimri, who slew his master. What she was saying to Jehu is, "You look like Zimri coming in here, the one that slew his master." And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" Well, you have to understand now that Jezebel, all the men in her court were eunuchs. You understand what a eunuch is? He's not a man no more. He's been castrated. She wouldn't have any man in the place except Ahab that wasn't castrated. She was the she-male dog of the bunch. And she meant that there would be no man ruling over nothing, and only one that would reproduce. And so, when Jehu gets there, he looks up to the window and hollers out, "Who's on my side?" And I guess these castrated eunuchs thought, it's only Jehu and Jezebel. If we don't stand on his side, we fixing to be like she's fixing to be, without a head. We better take his side. "Who's on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, "Throw her down." So they went and threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot, meaning Jehu. They threw her out the window of the palace. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel." Why did they leave the skull and the hands and the feet? Well, I don't know about back then, but these days that's how you identify somebody. The hands, the feet, and the skull, you can identify them. And I felt like the Lord wanted to be sure that they identified Jezebel for Jezebel. "And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel." You realize what happened there. The dogs that ate her went and defecated in Naboth's garden, in his vineyard. So the very thing that she had Naboth killed for, they fertilized the place with her. The spirit of Jezebel, a wicked and an evil woman. And it still goes on these days. You can, my time's up, but let's turn over to Revelation 2 and 20. You can go read Ephesians 5, 1 Timothy 2, and Titus 2, about all the things it says that a woman's supposed to do and what a woman's not supposed to do and how she's supposed to raise her children and teach the young women. It's not popular with women today, but it doesn't change the truth. And then chapter 2 of Revelation, to the message to Thyatira, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, the Lord Jesus tells the church, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That's the spirit of Jezebel. And it was in the Papist church. It was in the church at Thyatira. God said, you've got a few of these. You have a few things against thee because thou sufferest or let that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And that's the way Jezebel was. And that was the spirit of Jezebel. But that is not the spirit that the women of God are supposed to have. And you can read all about it in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning about verse 22 there, about how the man is the head of the home and the woman is to be submissive unto her own husband. You can read it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at about verse 9, and Titus chapter 2, starting at about verse 3 there, all about how the women are supposed to behave themselves to be a godly woman, to be keepers of the home, to be submissive unto their own husbands, to obey their own husbands. And that's what a godly woman does. Now, if that makes you upset or mad or whatever, you get mad at God, you get mad at the Scriptures, you get mad at the Holy Ghost, don't get mad at me because I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. But what you don't want to do is have the spirit of Jezebel. And men do not want the spirit of Jezebel to come upon them. May the Lord have mercy upon them and help them that they do not come under the power of the spirit of Jezebel. It ain't nothing but a demon from hell that is caught up in a woman that would cause a man to become to a woman that would put so much fear in him that he would become like Elijah and like Ahab. But you can go on and read there in 2 Kings and find out exactly what happened to the rest of Ahab's family and all the Baal prophets and all the Baal temples. But Jehu wasn't without fault. Now, he did kill every one of the Baal prophets. He killed every one of Ahab's kin folks, young'uns, grand young'uns, kin folks, killed them all. Wiped them out. But he did not tear down them golden calves that Jeroboam built. And God judged him for that. Because he didn't. Now, he blessed him. He blessed him for doing what he told him to do with Jezebel and her husband and all the kin folks. But he did not keep the people from worshiping the golden calves in northern Israel. May the Lord have mercy on us and keep us. Our God, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray that here at Zion, the spirit of Jezebel never comes upon a man, and the spirit of Jezebel never comes out of a woman. Because it's nothing but the demons from hell that overtakes a man or a woman that causes such misery in their lives and judgment of God to come upon them. Keep us from such, O Lord. Lead us not into evil, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. O God, and keep us and help us now. Help us to worship Thee and to love Thee. Increase our love for Thee on a daily basis. Forgive us of our sins and where we fail Thee and come short of Thy glory. And help us every day, Lord, to do all that we say and do for the glory of our great God. May the Lord Jesus have mercy upon us. I ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All the Lord's people said amen.